Hi, I'm Yusuf Zine. My latest TVO Today podcast is on how a Canadian ends up in a Chinese prison and if he's even alive. Listen and subscribe to Extradition. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Help TVO create a better world through the power of learning. Visit TVO.org and make a tax-deductible donation today.
Students across Ontario likely know it's Black History Month, and soon they'll have a better sense of some of the exceptional contributions of Black Canadians. A new provincial policy means those stories will become a mandatory part of the Canadian history curriculum. Deborah Buchanan-Walford is a high school educator and president of the Ontario Alliance of Black School Educators, and she joins us now from Brampton. Welcome, Deborah.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
All right, let's begin with the announcement itself. Education Minister Stephen Lecce, when announcing the new change to the curriculum, said Black history is Canadian history. Why has it taken so long to get to this point?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question because for decades, advocates, community groups have been asking for a change in the curriculum that better reflects the diversity of Canada and, of course, specifically with the Black community. And it hasn't mattered which government has been in power. So I think it's a bit more than just political will. It's also perhaps ignorance on the significance of this. And I'm happy to see that perhaps that has shifted, you know, with the current government. Secondly, I do believe also there's been a lack of Black educators in our school systems. There's been a lack of Black leaders in the school boards, and that has been changing for the past few years. So now that we've had a little bit more representation, then perhaps this is what has pushed us to this point. And of course, you know, continuous grassroots advocacy as well.
I actually want to pick up on that when we talk about fellow Black educators and administrators. How did it feel? Not only for you, you said you were happy, but how did this announcement make you feel and your peers feel when you heard it?
Yeah, initially it was a positive reaction. You know, it's really good to hear that our voices are being heard. And the Black history curriculum in particular is important because really all of our learnings and understanding comes from our histories, understanding who we are as a people and integrating into the Canadian society. So not treating Black history as a separate topic. But beyond that initial positive reaction came the questions of, okay, why is it only in the history curriculum? Why is it only in specific grades? And what more will we be doing beyond just looking at, you know, this moment in time of history, but beyond other subject areas as well? So we started to think about, okay, what next? And this is a very small step for something that we've been advocating for so long. So it's good, but we want more for sure.
All right, let's get into the nitty-gritty of the actual curriculum. Obviously, it's still in a work in progress, but can you clarify what grades will actually be impacted and actually have these course offerings?
Right, so currently it's only history for grades 7, 8, and 10 that will have the mandatory Black history curriculum.
And under the changes, can you give us an idea of perhaps what aspects of Black history will be taught in those grades?
So each grade sort of focuses on a different time period in history. So for example, in grade 7, we start to learn about pre-Confederation Canada and so on. And therefore, integrating Black history into those different eras, we'll look at the timeline of Black Canadians across the country and, of course, the province. So for example, we're expecting to hear about the Black Porters, who were the first unionized group because unions would not allow Black employees to become a part of their labor unions. And we're also hoping to hear about the impact of hockey, of how many Black men were the first people who were playing hockey professionally and really well in the country. And, you know, now hockey's a beloved sport all across Canada. So those are just some of the things that, you know, we expect to hear. And of course, also about segregation that did occur in Canada, the impact of, for example, Viola Desmond standing up against a segregated movie theater and in Nova Scotia and so on.
Now, September 2025 doesn't sound that... It sounds like it's going to take a little while. I know there's a lot of work there, but I'm just curious, what was your thoughts? You know, this this government has passed other curriculum sooner. This is a ways away, really. What are your thoughts on that date?
Actually, I'm happy that we're taking more time because to implement this is going to require a lot of thought, a lot of consultation, a lot of development of resources that may or may not currently exist. And it's also going to need wide consultation beyond just with educators. We also need to hear from community. We need to hear from students as well. Student voice is really important. So giving it enough time is crucial. And also the educators need time to learn the material and prepare to teach it, right? Because when we get a new curriculum, we don't necessarily get ready to go lesson plans. We get a document that's a guide, and we have to build from that. So that timeline is a good one, in my opinion.
All right, you mentioned students. I want to ask, as an educator, can you talk to me a little bit about why it's important for Black children to see themselves reflected within the educational framework?
You know, it's something when you walk into the room as an educator and you see a student light up. And this is not to say that students of other racial backgrounds don't deserve to see representation. Representation matters for everyone. But statistically, there aren't enough Black educators in schools. There isn't enough curriculum data or information on Black representation, Black culture, and therefore students tend to feel lost in the system. When you are reading a textbook and you see someone that looks like you, when you hear names that you can recognize from your culture that you've heard from your parents and your other family members, you feel like you belong. And many of our students are struggling with that sense of belonging in schools, which leads to a host of other issues, mental health issues, behavioral issues. So we're really trying to incorporate all students into the classroom so that they can also feel as agents in their own learning.
All right. I understand that you didn't grow up here in Ontario and go through the Ontario curriculum. You grew up in Jamaica. Yeah. And I want to ask you, did you notice a significant difference in the way that history was taught there? And obviously you came here as an adult, but you are in the education system. Is there a vast difference in how history is taught there versus here? Black history in particular?
Yeah, well, first of all, there's no separate concept of Black history in Jamaica, right? It's just history. We're a predominantly Black country. But also, we're also very proud as a nation, and we are a multiracial, multi-ethnic nation as well. So the main difference was that separation of groups. For example, I'm sure we're all familiar with, you know, many different Chinese Jamaicans. There's Michael Lee Chin, who is also here in Canada. And we sort of have that holistic approach in our learning. And we start from the beginning. So from kindergarten straight through to grade 12 and even in post-secondary, there is an intentionality behind ensuring that everyone is reflected. Whereas, unfortunately, and I have a child in the system as well. So from that perspective, there is generally sort of a one-sided view on history as it's taught in Canada. And again, I know that there are growing pains, but Canada has been a professed multicultural country for quite some time. So it would be good to see more intentionality in how we teach history, how we incorporate the diaspora, how we talk about folks like Jean Augustine and Lincoln Alexander as people who are Canadians, but also people who have other histories outside of the country from other countries like Grenada and so on.
I want to talk a little bit about perhaps the opportunity that is here. In grades 1 and 6 in Ontario, there's no history course. Instead, it is social studies. And you mentioned it would be courses in grades 7, 8, and 10 that would see these courses. Is there an opportunity for those junior and primary grades, perhaps, to maybe look at that as sort of the next steps in maybe making that mandatory, Black history for junior and primary grades?
Absolutely. And in fact, what we do need is a dedicated Afrocentric curriculum that is taught across all the grades. This can be taught in every class. For example, in a math class, students can learn about the impact of the Egyptians and the impact of other people who have developed mathematics as we know it. In English class, you can learn about artists and poets who are Black. So there are multiple entry points. And again, it can all be created with the age of the students in mind. In kindergarten, children are learning about the world outside their home for the first time. They're learning about other people. It's an opportunity to see, well, this is why this person looks this way. This is where they're from. This is how they speak, you know, embedded throughout the entire curriculum. So by the time students get to grade 7, they're already fully aware that people are different from them, that that's okay, that we're diverse, and that we are respectful of all different cultures. And now we can start getting into critiquing how we got here, what happened in the past, and how we're moving towards a better future.
Can Ontario play a leading role in encouraging other provinces to follow suit and mandate Black history learning in their school curriculums?
Absolutely. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say that in Nova Scotia, you know, they're already leading the way in this work. It would be great for the Ontario government to also reach out to them on their best practices and sort of form a coalition that can be spread across the country. Because again, while we're in Ontario, we're not static. People move around. And it's important to show the other provinces that we mean business, that we really do want a better life for everyone in the country. We want Black students to feel themselves as a part of Canada. We want them to be successful. And we're not just doing this for want of a better word, window dressing or checkboxing. We want this to be a lasting impact for generations to come.
All right, we have about 30 seconds left. And I do want to ask you, you mentioned a few names, Jean Augustine, Lincoln Alexander, Viola Desmond. When you're talking about hockey greats, I imagine you're talking about Herb Carnegie, for example. I want to know, what's your favorite, not widely known, piece of Black history that you can leave our audience with?
I guess I could say, as a Jamaican, so Louise Bennett Coverley, she is a Jamaican spoken word. People will think of it as spoken word, but she's a poet and actress. And she actually came to Canada and was one of the first Jamaicans to perform in Jamaican Creole outside of the country. And she's been an advocate for many years. She passed away a few years ago, but she was a staunch advocate for exactly what we're talking about, seeing ourselves reflected in the classroom, in the curriculum, our authentic selves, from a place of joy and inclusion.
Deborah, thank you so much for joining us on the program, and thank you so much for the work that you do.
Thank you for having me.
The Agenda with Steve Paikin is made possible through generous philanthropic contributions from viewers like you. Thank you for supporting TVO's journalism.